town you never heard of.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Let's go. Podcast for the people, by the people.
Oh, yes. That was a question mark.
It is by the people.
Oh, okay.
That's how you can fluctuate your voice to do different things.
Oh, yeah. But I thought your voice had to stay consistent.
Yeah, I was just having fun there.
Okay.
I'm practicing up. We got our big run of state basketball games coming up this week and next.
So do you ever have to suck on a throat lozenger or lube your throat with some water or?
Yeah. I've tried the whole honey, hot tea.
Really?
All that. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's.
So it's a thing.
It's go time. You got
to
go.
You think it's harder to be a singer though?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, do you think you're using more of your voice? I'm just saying,
probably.
Do you feel more for the ones that are belting it compared to just nonstop talking like you do?
I have an appreciation for the people that use their voice regardless.
Okay.
If it's singing or an everyday radio show type of guy. Mm-hmm. You're just on. And if you're not, that means someone else is taking your spot and you can't risk that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the people you see on TV, it's like a per game contract, like even NFL games.
What?
Oh, yeah. So if you don't make that game, that means someone else steps in for you and maybe they like them better. Maybe the audience likes them better. So you can't allow yourself to not perform, I guess.
I see.
You know? So.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense because I've been a little bit more in tune. Some podcasts and other ones I'm a little more checked out. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, no one's replaced me, but we're not that big. But, I mean, it might happen, right?
I wouldn't think so. But
that somebody's going to replace you?
I'm just saying, to your point, I could see it would be, that is work.
Yeah.
To stay focused, to mm-hmm. be on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, our local guy, I brought him up a few times, Kevin Kugler. He is awesome. He graduated from UNO, and he does NFL games, Major League Baseball, all sorts of stuff. And he travels a lot, and he has, mm-hmm. This regimen where he doesn't touch anything. He's always taking all these vitamin packs and stuff, just as all precautionary notes, so he'll never get sick.
He just wears gloves?
I don't know if he goes that far, but when he gets on boards an airplane, he doesn't touch the fold down tray or any of that stuff.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, he's just like, mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
All right. Yes.
Basketball. Oh, there you are. Basketball? We're not talking about basketball.
Well, you were. There was some basketball talk. There was some.
See, he checked out, Andy.
Yep, yep.
I didn't check out. I was listening intently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, to begin with, we've only talked about him a couple of times. I told these folks we'd give him a couple of shout-outs, and I want people to check him out. RockRoosterFootwear.com. Boots. Pretty cool boots.
Still have yours on.
Been wearing these now for, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
They're super comfortable. They're easy to get on and off. They're wearing pretty good. They don't look like they're trashed or anything. And I beat them pretty good.
And I've cleaned them.
Yeah, once. Yeah.
And, what do you call it? Oiled them?
Oiled them.
Ooh, yep. Did you get some mink oil?
I don't know what kind of oil it was, but.
Leather. Something for the leather.
It was used on there. But I've been pleasantly surprised. In the boot world, these I don't even know how you explain this. This shows you how little I know about boot terminology, but these are lace-up boots,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they're a little shorter, little above your ankle, whatever.
Construction worker type.
Yeah, right, yep. Okay.
Like hiking
leather,
boots almost.
You know, they've got kind of fancy stitching on them or whatever. You're seeing more and more of this. This is all the rage in the boot world right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for boots, this is what you're looking for. There's a bunch of different brands that are doing this. Rock Rooster is one of the brands that is the most affordable. And sometimes more affordable means it might be junk.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about half the price of a lot of these other brands.
Yeah, that doesn't make you raise your eyebrows a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
So I got these and I was like, okay, let's check them out. You know, I've been very pleasantly surprised. They're very good quality. They wear very well. We'll see how long they last, but they've been great so far.
And you know, on the other end of that, when it's a real expensive pair of boots, then I raise my eyebrows now I'm just buying a name.
Right.
You know, now I'm just buying a brand. So where's the sweet spot? Not just with boots, but kind of everything.
Yep.
You go through these mental gymnastics Jesus Christ, I just want a pair of blue jeans.
Right.
you know?
Yeah. So. All the cool stuff. So anyway, go to their website, rockroosterfootwear.com. Check them out. You can get 15% off if you use our code. It's FarmFocused, which is our code on, you know, all of our people that we work with so far. Lowercase. All one word, FarmFocused, F-O-C-U-S-E-D. Get you 15% off any boots there. Check them out. Try them. I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
Cool.
So today, in true Common Folk fashion, I've said this before, one of the reasons we originally started this podcast was because at the time, which it's been like 3 years now, right, that we've been doing this?
Yeah. Seems crazy. Yeah.
We just released episode 150.
It's kind of weird when you think about it, but at the time, 3 years ago, the mainstream media, you know, was like the big thing. That's everything. That's what we're being fed every day. Mm-hmm. It was always like one-sided. It was blown up. It was only the stories they wanted to tell, you know, on and on and on. And I felt like there's this big group of people out there that I called the common folk that have a real-life perspective on this stuff. The mainstream media, they're not paying attention to them. You know, they have their own take. They have their own conversations in their own little circles, if they even have them. They have their own thoughts in their own household.
Sure.
And that's the common folk. So I wanted to bring that perspective to the airwaves. So that's what we did. So today, now here we are 3 years later, what we've seen is that, you know, a administration change, and the mainstream media is getting buried. So a lot of people apparently felt like we did and started listening to more podcasts, started putting aside the mainstream media, calling bullshit, you know, not wanting to hear what they have to say. And we're seeing the results of it, which is great, because that's kind of what we set out to do, was to bring that perspective. So today there's this thing going on in the media. And this is, like I said, what we're here to do, what I want to put the common folk perspective on. With our new administration, hasn't been in very long. They're doing a lot of things. They're ruffling a lot of feathers.
Doing a lot of things.
Yeah. It's some of the best. It's some of the best things that anybody has ever done, anybody has ever tried to do, anybody's ever attempted to do. Anyway, we've got this war in Ukraine with Russia, right? It's been going on for years. A lot of the common folk have been watching this going, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah.
The billions and billions of dollars that nobody knows where it's going. Even a bunch of their people have come out and been like, we're not seeing the money.
Zelensky straight up said, he said some crazy number a few weeks ago, like, oh, well, 71% of the money is unaccounted for. I don't know what happened to it. I didn't get it.
Like, yeah.
What do you mean you didn't get 71% of the money we sent you?
Yeah. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. Nobody's being held accountable.
Yeah.
It just keeps being like sold as like this moral decision, like, oh no, this is what you have to do. You have to support the more unfortunate, you know, and we got to keep Russia at bay and blah, blah, all these things. Sure. I mean, there's some things that we need to do, but come on, give us some freaking clarity, right?
Be transparent.
Yeah. Give us the receipt. I mean, we got to know what this is being used for.
Where's all this money going? Who's it going to? You know, what the heck's going on? Whatever. And then on top of that, you know, you've got this Zelensky guy that's running their country, who is a former, like, America's Got Talent, Ukraine's Got Talent contestant that became their president, which is kind of weird to begin with. But
is it weirder than hosting The Apprentice?
Hey,
Celebrity Apprentice.
Good point. Good point.
Ooh, forgot about that. I used to love that show too, just saying.
You're fired.
Actually, I don't know why I didn't put that together. Good point. I'll take that. Anyway, so they're talking to this guy, and so what I want to talk about today is this meeting that they recently had in the Oval Office. It's all over the media. Again, mainstream media is blowing it up. A lot of the, I would call it like leftist type things that I listen to, like NPR and, you know, whatever else.
Get on
Reddit. They're just absolutely disgusted. They think this is the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of the Oval Office. You know, so this is all the stuff we're hearing. So I want to talk about today, what is the common folk perspective on this? What do we think about what's going on and about what happened?
Yeah. Well, it was quite the shouting match, and I think that's where everyone kind of agrees that they didn't care for it. And that's always been Trump's bash, was he's not very cordial.
Like,
if you piss him off, he's going to just raise his voice and talk over you. And,
yeah.
And that's what got most of the sound bites and short clips out there, is just him and Zelensky trying to talk over each other, you know, and the conversation's going nowhere.
Right.
And yeah, there's something to be said for that, but also there's a lot that led up to that. So, but it's, it feels like we don't have time for that. You know, it's got to be a clip. It's got to be a soundbite. And,
right. Yeah.
You know, so.
And these guys, so, you know, for anybody who hasn't heard it, which I don't know how you haven't heard it at this point, but, you know, they're just, they're, he gets invited to the Oval Office and Trump and Vance are speaking with him about the current situation.
Yeah.
And they decided to have, you know, the media there watching it. So this is all recorded, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Zelensky is coming off very much as if he's not very grateful for what has been done, that he's well, trying to make the point that we need to do more.
Can I put in a little bit of a context here?
Yeah.
So right after that happened and I saw what I was supposed to see, mm-hmm. you know, all the headlines, you know, from this side and that right. side, and it's like, okay. And I caught wind of an interview from like this liaison type of fellow who works between the Ukrainian government and our government. And this whole mineral deal was put together. There's a lot of, you know, Ukraine's a mineral rich mm-hmm. Place. And this was going to be the first step in roundabout giving them U.S. support that mm-hmm. made sense. And also, like you said, Morgan, give us some receipts. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Oh, we're securing these precious metals that we can mine in Ukraine. And it's also going to – we'll be able to, you know, recoup some of this money. Mm-hmm. So this whole thing was to be this joyous occasion for him to come over, sign that deal, and it was going to be a hurrah moment and, like, look. And also send a clear message to Russia, like, hey, now we're partners. Now we have a ventured interest. Right before he went on, then this is just what this guy was saying. Mm-hmm. Zelensky's like, well, I'm not signing that deal. He goes – that's the whole reason we flew you over here. That's the whole reason you're here. Do we need to call off this? He goes, no, I'll go up there and talk. He goes, well, what are you going to talk about? Like, he was just flabbergasted, like blown away. And like, this was moments right before that. So throughout that conversation, Vice President J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, the president, had to figure out that he wasn't going to sign it and they weren't happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that just kind of puts a little context in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he started fidgeting. You know, people were body language experts and stuff. They speculate, like, that's why Zelensky started to change his tone and kind of shift back and forth and, you know, get beady eyes or whatever, you know, was because sooner or later he was going to have to come forward and admit, I'm not signing this deal. I'm not here to sign a deal. But,
so whether the deal it was right or wrong, whatever, does anybody think that it's wrong for the U.S. administration to ask Zelensky and Ukraine to give something back for everything that we've given? Like, does anybody think that we should just be giving,
mm-hmm.
and not expecting anything back in this scenario?
Not only giving, but like, you can't even show us, like what you're saying, you can't show us where the money's going to. Is it going to troops? Is it going to machinery? Is it going to, like, peace negotiations?
To add a little bit to that, I think that part of that problem is on our side.
Sure.
Did we not, like, ask them to show us?
No, I think that some of that money or some of that aid, Zelensky literally does not know because he's not mm-hmm. being included in the conversations. It's I think that there's certain folks on the U.S. side that are managing this to their own benefit or to their buddy's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like circumventing him, you know, some of this money that's being sent, some of this aid that's being sent.
Yeah.
So I can see how he would be pissed about that.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it feels like it's just really all it's doing is helping a few people at Lockheed Martin or North Group.
Yeah, these governmental, what do you call them, NGOs
or
whatever.
A lot of NGOs, yeah. But I'm talking about the industrial complex war
exactly
machine.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So the dude does have a little bit of ground as far as that goes, is mm-hmm. like, you know, probably thinking, hey, a bunch of stuff's going on in my country and a bunch of stuff is getting pinned on me
mm-hmm.
that I'm not even responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how that would be, but that's not what the conversation was. No. So if they were at least to have that conversation, you know, get that in the open, then we can start giving the guy some leeway.
Yeah.
Can we talk about, though, we talked that we were going to talk about this, and I was like, yeah, I've seen clips, but I haven't watched the whole thing. You were like, well, just, you mm-hmm. know, you could watch a bit of it. Search something up. It's a 30-minute clip. Mm-hmm. I got through 20 minutes of it, not one argument. So how long, first of all, for those that haven't seen it, was the meeting? Because again, this media is going to grab onto shit. Were they just arguing for 5 minutes and it made it look like it was the whole meeting? I haven't even got to the quote-unquote argument that we're discussing right now, because they actually had cordial interactions for the first 22 minutes of what I've seen.
This thing has gotten so taken on such a life of its own where – I feel like both sides, you could say Fox News and MSNBC, are both clinging to J.D. Vance saying, thank you. He needs to say thank you. So like both sides are like using it as a rallying cry.
Yeah.
And the left obviously has the perspective of he shouldn't have to ask for a thank you or say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the Fox News side saying, well, yeah, he hasn't said thank you enough. And he never did. And it reminds me of an old Simpsons episode where both sides of the crowd at a hockey game zone kill Bart, and the other side's selling Bart kill. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So 100%.
But like, was this meeting an hour, 2 hours?
50 minutes, right?
Okay.
50 minutes.
So how long was this disagreement that has been blown out of proportion or only taken from that?
Because it was probably like 8 to 10 minutes.
Okay. Less than 10. So can we not talk about that they also did agree on some things?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like, we're not getting the full story. You're getting a highlight reel, which is always what happens.
So this clip was from BBC.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, you know.
It's tough to keep up, and not just on this one, but it's tough to keep up with Trump and everything that he's doing, and he's, you know, Elon Musk and Doge and MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. There is just a banger of a headline coming out, I would say, like every 8 hours. Our news, News Channel Nebraska's news, out on our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep up with these headlines.
Oh, and all the files that were going to be released.
That's another level. Yeah, like, wow.
There's so much going on.
I do my best to listen to, you know, media from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I listen to when I have time is a podcast from the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
And I've been listening to this thing for a long time. They used to have really good stories.
And journalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
Over the last, I'm going to say 2 to 3 weeks, every single episode has had Trump's name in it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. Right. Like in the title?
And not a single one of them is positive.
Mm-hmm.
So these dudes have taken this podcast, which is one of the biggest podcasts in the country, and bashed Trump for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Do you think their numbers are growing or going? It would be just be interesting to hear. Like they're doing it for a reason.
But it's gotten
because they
have
an audience.
It's gotten to the point where I can't listen to it. Like I definitely lean right, but I listen to everything and I take it into account.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten to the point where it's getting so blatant that it's like I can't listen to you guys anymore. I already know what you're gonna say.
That's rough, and that's a trap that I feel a lot of shows fall into. Mm-hmm. Like you just want to keep your audience feeding them what's working, and the majority of those people don't like Trump, so let's keep. But it's not healthy. It's totally not healthy as a nation to listen to that, but it's good clickbait. Nebraska went through this when the football coach, when we fired Frank Solich. You know, he followed up Tom Osborne. That's an impossible thing to try and do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a TV show in Omaha that's Clove. She's a baby.
She's whining. Owner, you know, people.
Should I let her outside?
You let her in here or outside, whatever. But there was a local show that would air Sunday nights on local television. Mm-hmm. And these two dudes, it devolved into just them bashing the new coach. I'm like, well, this isn't healthy.
Right.
Like, even if he's not doing it the Nebraska way or the right way, but I'm like, this is not healthy for our fan base. It's definitely not healthy for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like what you were saying, I had to tune out. Like, I used to watch that sports show. It was just part of my routine.
Just gets old.
It gets old. And it's like, how many times can I say I agree with you? Like, yeah, they should be tougher in practice. Yeah, they should be recruiting more fullbacks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. But you guys up there just grandstanding, talking about how shitty this coach is, isn't helping anything.
Right.
And I feel like that's where really all mainstream media, they just keep beating this dead horse and we're over it.
Yeah. So then what's two sides to this? Like, if we're going to say, you know, other podcasts are, you know, like you're saying, are just one side. I know we're the common folk and bring in perspective, but like, should that conversation gone down the way it did. Didn't I see the news after, and Zelensky kind of apologized and said
he wanted to get back in.
Yeah. So like, what's that about? Do you think Trump called him afterwards and was like, dude, what the?
I don't know. I mean, who knows what happened?
I think
we should get back to that because I specifically want to talk about that meeting.
Yeah.
One of the things that I wonder about, again, as a common folk, common sense, looking at the whole thing, how much of what went down was like lost in translation, like was like a cultural mismatch.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's was
interesting.
Did he not get it?
Yeah. Was he how he was acting was would have that been normal in a conversation, you know, in his culture?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Was he just not doing what our culture was expecting, but maybe he didn't mean that? I'm not trying to give the guy
a break or a pass.
I'm just trying to say, could that be possible? Is that some of that?
Well, I said that to you. I was like, do you, because I hadn't seen anything. This was whenever it happened. I'm like, do you think he even understood what was going on? Well, and your response was like, I think so, but I don't know, you know?
He understood what he was supposed to do, and that's get up there, do a little rah-rah moment,
okay,
sign this goddamn minerals agreement, and then we'd start rolling troops or support in, whatever the case was, whatever that agreement said. And he wasn't going to do any of that. And so everything was already off base. I did think it was funny when Trump's like, you don't have the cards. He goes, I'm not playing cards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so maybe some of that was kind of going over his head, or, you know, just when Trump starts talking fast and pointing his finger at you.
Right. Using slang.
Yeah, and like, it does make you defensive.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah.
But I will say, I got a little defensive. Like, my ears perked up when he said, you have a nice ocean between you, but this will come to you.
I was going
to
bring that
up. This will,
you don't. Okay, so
and
I
Trump
didn't
said
that.
Exactly what I was thinking. And I think that's where Trump resonates with most people. You don't tell us how it's going to impact us. Like, you don't get to say that. Yeah. And here you are asking for, I think you're just asking for more money. We've already done that for years.
Yeah.
We've given you, and we don't, I guess we're in, capable of getting a handle on this, you know.
So did Trump
we don't
say
know where all this money's going.
We're done with the money.
He said we're suspending.
They put a whole
talks thing until he comes in. And also, it did. This is another part that I think got lost in translation. Like, so many things were happening. I thought Trump made a good observation there that this guy is up here talking shit about Putin. Well, how are you going to get Putin to come to the table and work towards a peace deal when you're just up here talking shit about him?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be cordial. You got to be nice to the guy. And then he made a very brash, observation about Biden. He's like, Biden would talk shit and call him all these names. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work for him, you know. Yeah. And he kept saying he respects me, which it's so brash and in your face, like, kind of turns you off.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to it.
To go back to that comment about, you know, the ocean and this will come to you or whatever. When I heard that, I felt the same way that you did, where I was like, whoa, back up, buddy. Like, you're not going to threaten us.
Yeah.
But then I got to thinking about it, and I was like, okay, one of two things is going on. Either this guy is really that much of an idiot, and he deserves everything he's getting right now in this meeting, or what he said and how he said it wasn't meant that we would, you know, are decoding it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if he was meaning to be like that intense and threatening.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that was just his way of using the language to say, you know, I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt, but I'm just trying to say, like, this doesn't add up to me, because who in their right mind would sit
there
in that meeting with no cards and say something very threatening?
Yeah.
So again, either that's not what he meant, or he did, and the dude needs to go away.
Well, here's where I'll sympathize. Let's call it sympathize with the guy. He's basically an entertainer, right? You talked about his TV shows, and there's some funny ones on there where he's got like fake boobs, and he's dancing, and he's ripping his boobs off, and he's like, it's funny, right? But no, he's played the game. He's worked his way all the way up to, some would say, dictator. We don't want to say that, though. He's a president or something like that.
something like that.
But everything he's asked for, he's gotten. So why would I expect him, just keep asking for the world. Ask for a few more billion dollars. Why not? Like, so like, that's where I'm like, well, how do you think he should act?
Yeah.
Well, you know, not up until this point, he's never been kicked out of the White House, but he was escorted out of the White House.
How did it end?
It's not almost that, like, hold on a second. Okay. Ask that in a second. It's almost like raising a kid, you know, like when you... When you teach them that kind of, I mean, he's been taught that kind of behavior with us. He's been taught, here's how you interact with us by the previous administration. So now he's got a completely different administration. And they're like, no, kid, that ain't how you act. It's almost like the kid went to school now and the teachers are like,
go to the principal's office.
I don't care how you talk to your parents. You're not talking to me like that.
This is algebra two. You know, this isn't the basic math here. This isn't multiplication facts. This is algebra. Yeah. We don't play that game here. Yeah. So, no, that's a good point. And he even said that a few times where I think he was shocked that J.D. Vance was even getting into him.
Oh, yeah.
And he said to Vance, he's talking too loud. And Trump, I love that about Trump, too. He butt in there and goes, he's not talking too loud.
I remember that.
Like, he had his back. Like, they supported one another. I just love that unity. You know, whether you like the guys or not, I just like that they're on the same page.
And that does suck for the guy that it's, like, two against one.
Well, sure. Couldn't he have brought a backup? Doesn't he have somebody?
I don't think so. But the bottom line is that, look, dude, you're in our office. You're in our country, you're on our time. This just is what it is.
If anything, it was a literal, like, you don't have the cards.
Yeah.
And also, it was part of the grandstand. Like, look, there's the vice president and the president and everyone signing the treaty or signing the agreement. And that just was not going to happen.
And it did clearly show that our president and our vice president are on the same page. I mean, that was pretty obvious.
Real quick, I did see another interview, and just we're talking about how fast these things move. Where Zelensky like doubled down and straight up said, the sons and daughters of America will have to fight. They will come to Ukraine and fight the Russians, and they will, he said something like, some of them will die. There will be death to America. Like, I can't believe he's saying this stuff.
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up, like you said. And I honestly don't know if that was said before. I think it was said after, though. And he went on Fox News shortly after that.
Oh.
And they gave him an opportunity to kiss and make up, you know.
And he did or didn't?
Did not.
I felt like he was a little bit, but maybe it wasn't.
He was like, I appreciate the American people, you know, but no, he never said thank you to Donald. He's not going to do it. Like, I think he has just as much contempt, or he's just bewildered. Like, why isn't this guy just rolling over and giving me more money? I just want more money. And most of the money gets laundered back to him or his son or something, right?
Like,
what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like, I just come over here and I get more money. I don't sign deals with you.
Right.
You just give me more money and you take most of it back. But hey, we're all doing good.
Right.
But before Biden, that administration obviously was if we're talking about a kid, was he treated that way with Trump previously? You know what I mean? Like, you would think he's had a taste of Trump. Come on.
That was before all that stuff started to happen.
Yeah.
At war and done all... Oh, okay.
Trump is like 4 years out of our 250 years as a nation. 4 years under Trump was four of the very few that we weren't in a war, actively in a war.
Right. I knew that. But you're saying, I thought we've been helping Ukraine for a while now.
It's been a number of years, but this Russia and Ukraine war has been going on for what?
3.5 years?
Yeah, so.
Four?
Okay.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was within, longer than that. I got you. Okay.
Mostly within Biden's presidency.
Yeah.
And also, to that point, I didn't realize this. I don't know where I missed it, but Vance said to him, you were over here not too long ago campaigning for the other side.
That's true. He did say that.
So Zelensky apparently was all for Harris and her campaign. And obviously didn't get what he wants.
At one of her rallies in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
really?
That is, as a leader, a really bad move. So like that would have showed us early on how incompetent this guy is. Knowing the American election system and knowing that there's basically a 50-50 chance here, mm-hmm. why would you put your cards on half of it, knowing that you might lose, and then what the hell are you going to do?
You're right.
Because he's probably saying, thank you for all the money in my pocket. Like, I appreciate
it. Yeah, but he was
I'll campaign for
but
you.
But he was campaigning for them, apparently.
I know, like, I'm just saying. Like they were giving him money.
These are the people you need to hire. Like, if I was him, I would have told Biden and Harris, which at that point Biden wasn't even involved, so I would have told Harris, hey, look, we are grateful for everything that you guys did, and I am more than happy to get on TV and say thank you to the U.S. for the support, mm-hmm. thank you to the previous administration for the support. I am grateful and I am hopeful that this will continue into the next administration, the next 4 years, you know, whatever, but I cannot put myself on one side or the other because I have to look out for Ukraine. Right.
But once again, everything that he's done up to that point, it's worked out, and it's worked out handsomely as far mm-hmm. as creating wealth for himself and his buddies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
right.
Talking about that, was that a good move for the Democratic Party, or was that just being tone deaf? Like, what do you think? I just feel like they're so well. Just right there, you're putting yourself in a spot where. What if you don't win? What if you don't win?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that mean that the country's not going to back Ukraine then? You know, like you're kind of setting that precedence
right,
up.
Right.
You know, so like, I don't know.
It's definitely been poised as a left side initiative mm-hmm. to support Ukraine. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I've seen it on social media. The people who, you know, get shared in my feed mm-hmm. who are left side leaning people, liberal people are all posting Ukrainian flags. We stand with Ukraine, pictures of Zelensky, all this kind of stuff. So it's clear that the left, a good part of the left, fully believes that this meeting was wrong mm-hmm. and that Zelensky and Ukraine need more money.
Just look at the headlines from MSNBC on YouTube. Like, we have no respect on the world stage anymore. Trump solidified how stupid he is. Vance showed you how arrogant and retarded he is. You're not supposed to use the word retarded, but I think they made the case that he really is retarded now.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh!
So it's pretty rough out there. I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah.
But it's pretty wild. And then on the other side, it's the exact opposite headline. Like, finally a leader. You know, it's like mm-hmm. I don't know, talking over guys that good leadership.
Yeah.
You know, so to your point, I do feel. Maybe things are better, but the common folk, the I would say 85, 90% of us are right here, right now. Like, man, that headline's bullshit. That headline's bullshit, you know, but where are we at? And it leaves everyone kind of confused. And we want to be part of a team or align ourselves, you know. But, man, it's hard for me to just blindly go along with Fox News. Same can be said for CNN. Like, and I think I told you this. A while ago, but as part of like my morning routine, like, okay, work out, have a coffee, have some creatine, whatever. I was trying to work in, like, catch 15 minutes of the news and just turn on NBC News and watch it.
Okay.
And I did that for 2 or 3 months a couple of years ago. And I could not believe what they were talking about compared to what my Twitter feed or X was talking. Like, they didn't even cover the same issues. And if there was some overlap, which you'd think there would be with the world war, you know, looming and all this other shit, completely opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, and there was no give. There's no, like, well, they could have a point and we need to see this thing develop. No.
Right.
Like, it was just wild to me. And it got to the point, like, what you're talking about, like, I'm just wasting my time. It felt like just nothing but straight up propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. It just felt like just bullshit. So, like, it's not part of my routine anymore.
Yeah.
You threw that out.
Yeah. But it leaves you like, well, what do you do? You know, where do you go?
Yeah. It's detrimental to your own, like, mentality and sanity. In the end,
I thought it was at least going to help me know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I feel if I really took a step back and looked at it, no. All I was fed was Plato's shadows or, you know, whatever that, you know, that Greek mythology tale, you know, where they just show you the shadows on the wall. You know, like it was bizarre. It really was. It was just bizarre.
So I'm curious if you guys have heard anything from, like, people that live in Ukraine. Like, what is their take on this? I mean, obviously it's probably going to be split too, but do they like him as a president? Or do they, you know what I mean? Are they probably divided like we are too with, that's probably.
I don't know the answer to that. I haven't.
There's some deep rabbit holes where some of these places that Russia's trying to take over identify themselves as Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not even against, they're like, no, we don't want to be part of this crazy dude. We want to be back to where. And that goes back to World War II. You know, we just drew up these lines after we won the war.
Mm-hmm.
Us and a couple other assholes are like, that's a good border. There we go.
Yeah.
So someone took a pencil and
we didn't ask Ukrainians or what we call Ukrainians nowadays where they thought the border should be, you know? So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's way, I don't know, how much time you got, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to guess, I would say that Ukrainians as a people are, you know, very, very frustrated with what's going on. They have to be. I've heard things like they've lost a whole generation of men.
Sure.
Oh. Okay.
You know, there's a lot of death. There's a lot of destruction. There's just.
I would be furious with the United States right now if I was that's what I think I would think.
Okay.
What I think I would think. Okay. So I feel that we got kind of backdoored into this war. The United States had a heavy hand in ushering this in with NATO discussions and this and that. And now we've gotten to a point where, we lost a lot of men, and now we're backed into this corner where this loud Donald Trump character is saying, sign this frickin' deal and give us your you know, your precious metals. Mm-hmm. Let us start mining your hillsides here. I was like, God damn it. First off, this administration gets us into this thing, and then this administration is going to totally get all the benefit out of it. And, who the hell is looking out for me? Mm-hmm. You know,
so but aren't we going to send troops and help them and all the stuff, supposedly?
Well, we can't.
I'm just saying I would be frustrated.
Now
we're backed into this corner where America's going to get our precious metals. And, we'll make a little money on it or whatever. But, shit, our higher-ups have been making money this whole time. Why our young men have been perishing, been dying.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, and I think, at a very basic level, if Ukraine doesn't have enough money to fight their war, right? But they do have something that their country owns, which is natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were running a business and you didn't have enough money, but you owned a bunch of assets, you would sell those assets to get more money to do what you need to do.
Sure.
Like at a very basic level, that's what it would be. So why wouldn't they be doing that anyway? Why wouldn't they be saying, hey, Mr. US, I've got a bunch of stuff I can give you in return. You know, I would like this from you.
Sure.
You're probably going to give me more than I'm going to give you. That's okay, mm-hmm. If you're okay with that. But let's, have some kind of agreement, not just a one-sided.
But don't you feel like they got hoodwinked a little bit?
Probably.
I mean, if you're the average
one way
Joe,
or another. Yeah.
Like that discussion probably didn't come up as far as the minerals.
Yeah.
It was probably just about, hey, you're just going to use our weaponry and we're all going to make a mint off this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know who Lindsey Graham is?
The name, but I don't know Lindsey Graham very
well. So he was a big pusher for the war. And there's some, if it wasn't so sad, there'd be hilarious sound bites of him going, well, you ever think about all those minerals and how much they're worth? Why should we let Putin have these minerals? I want these minerals for us. it's just like, wow, show us how you really feel about it, buddy. Forget that young men are dying and there's a war. I want that mineral. Why should Putin get that? So anyway, he came out right after that and he goes, I've never been more proud of our vice president standing up for the American people in the interest, and also our president, straight up telling him, you're not the tail that's going to wag the dog.
Yeah.
Right.
And for him, a senator like him, who's been pro-war, push this war because I want those minerals, for him to stand up and totally flip sides like that, you could say from left to right or however you want to, characterize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. And I think that was a clear message. It should have been to Zelensky and his party, okay, this we got to negotiate.
Yeah.
This ship has sailed. The cash machine is the free money is over.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, I think Trump's big brash way did bulldoze.
Okay, So what was the final straw? When did they say, get the F out of here, get him escorted? Because again, there's got to be other people that didn't see the whole bit. I know you said at the beginning.
Well, they opened it up with questions, heard this. Right?
Yeah. Was it just questions or what? And then answered and they were like, nah, get him out of here? Or what? How did it end?
Here's how I digested it. J.D. Vance, you know, he's kind of measured, a lot more measured than Trump.
Yeah.
Tried to walk it back, I feel that, a couple times. And he even said, well, maybe we need to shift this and have this conversation not in front of the media, not in front of a bunch of cameras. And Trump butted in and said, no, I like it here. I'm tired of this being spoken behind the scenes. Yeah. I think it's good that everyone's seen this conversation right now. And then the press went wild. And this one gal goes, well, what if Putin doesn't follow through with the ceasefire if he dropped a ceasefire? And Trump goes, what are you saying? And J.D. Vance is like, well, she's asking, well, what if Trump doesn't? Did you hear the soundbite?
No, I didn't.
And Trump goes, well, what if a bomb drops on your head right now? Like, what are you even saying? And then rubble, 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 rubble. And then Trump straight up said, I think we've said enough, or we've shown enough. Let's wrap it up. We good? We good? And when he says, like, we good, that means shut it down.
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't like he was trying to answer something. They didn't like it, and they were like, no, you need to get out of here.
Because
that's what I got from you guys. They, like, almost interrupted him and were like, get out of here. It kind of ended.
It ended with
fine. But, okay.
Yeah. It kind of ended with some hoopla there and the press all screaming questions. And Trump even said he can't help himself. He goes, well, this was good TV, I'll tell you that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I got to finish the rest.
He just can't. I mean, he's a promoter. He's a marketer at heart, you know, so, like, he just can't help it.
Well, and he's not wrong. I mean.
No.
I mean, he did say what I heard a couple times. He goes, I'm good at making deals. That's what I've done my whole life. I'm good at it.
And they had, a pretty good deal, you
but
know.
But I guess not.
Yeah, not for Zelensky.
Well, time is going to tell because, you know, that's just that's his whole art of the deal thing. Like that, that's just the beginning.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like other things are going to come around, and he's going to get to where he wants to get to.
Do you ever read that book?
No.
What book?
The Art of the Deal.
Oh no.
One of Donald Trump's first best time New York best time seller, whatever.
Did you read it?
I read it in college.
Yeah.
And I think it was published in 1986, and then I read it in like 2002, and I found it fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yeah.
So, okay.
And what he says in that book, like, he's actually doing.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, shocker.
You know what you're going to get with this guy.
Yeah, people could just read it and know what he's gonna do, right?
Yeah.
But it works.
Well, deals get done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, you know, in the end, the whole thing, my opinion is that I'm fine with what went down, the way it went down. You know, it's one of those things where, like, if most of the time, if you want something to get better, it's got to get worse first.
It's got to get a little messy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, those things had to be said. Like that line had to be drawn.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that it was done in front of all of us and that's pissing people off.
It's a shock.
I think it's bullshit that's pissing people off. Like, are you literally saying that you want this stuff to go on behind closed doors and that you don't get to see it and that you are going to have to rely on things like the New York Times podcast to tell you what happened? You know, like, no, let's see it.
Yeah.
You know, we're all part of this. We hired this dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're his boss. Why can't we watch it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why can't we see that? So I see no problem with that.
I mean, in any way you turn it, Trump was going to get, it was going to be bad. Like, even if they signed it. The left was going to flip it some, you know, so like he's always going to lose, right?
To them, yeah.
To them, yeah. So like, what does it matter? I mean, that 8 minutes of it, you disagreed.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting point. It's a good point. Like we, you know, over half the nation voted for this and they voted for change. And it really kind of reminds me of like what people are up in arms with Elon Musk right now. And rather than being mad at all the collusion and dirty deals and this and that, we're mad at the messenger. We're mad at the auditors.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't like that Trump was talking over the guy? That's not very presidential. Who cares how it gets done?
Yeah.
And also, I found it a little refreshing too. Like, oh, there's the backbone I wanted to see. Mm-hmm. You know. So, yeah. I was all for it too. But yeah, even I was like, God damn it. You know,
it was just a little shocking because we're not used to seeing it.
Yeah, you're having a shouting match with a ally, you know, with somebody that I felt we kind of coaxed into a war, you could say, you know, depending who you talk to or how you follow, you know, connect the dots. So it is. It was just kind of shocking, but I wasn't against it either. And I was, what I took away was I was proud that we seemed unified. The vice president, the president, and the big players like Lindsey Graham all rallied around and said the same message, regardless of all the stupid headlines from whichever side, wherever you want to take them from.
Yeah.
Tried to say.
I liked the question when they asked him why he didn't dress up.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of weird. It reminds me of the what you said about Mr. Beast. Like, he's just always in a t-shirt and looking like you can't, like, look the part. But this bro showed up in a decent shirt.
I mean, and that's a good point. You know, all these people barking about, oh, that wasn't very presidential in your behavior, you know, and blah, blah, blah. What would have they done if Trump showed up in a freaking pullover quarter zip?
Yeah.
They would have been like, look at this freaking guy. He can't even wear a tie. You know what I think about ties anyway, but... they would be like, what is our president doing? He's not presidential. Yeah. You weren't hearing any of that about Zelensky.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So it's like that was always.
That was the funniest first headline that the left came out with was, how dare you address how he's dressing.
Dressed.
Yeah. How that's so disrespectful. There was like a workout bro crying, like, I can't believe we're talking to what he wears. I'm like, dude, you're not a workout bro in my book then.
I seriously think Trump should steal his look on something next level like Zelensky? This. Yes. Oh, and see what the fuck they say. Like the left is going to be so pissed that Trump did not wear a tie.
Well, see, and here's
just
where
think here, it'd be here's, hilarious.
Here's where I can sympathize with Zelensky again. I bet in his mind he's like, but this is what you told me to wear, and I would wear this get up, and I look like a military man, and I care for the people, and I am the people, and now I'm being trashed with that? Like, you know, like. Like, I'm sure that very first interview he did where I'm standing my ground for our people and for Ukraine. And he was basically wearing that same outfit.
He had like a flak vest on. And,
sure. Yeah. Oh, all that shit, you know. And oh, my God, even all of the – I mean, that was one where MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, News Channel Nebraska, we all, God damn it, look at this guy. He's standing up for what's right and humanity. Yeah. You know, like everyone. And then my alarms are really going off. I'm like, oh, shit, we're going to war. Yep. Everybody agrees. And so, like, that worked for him. And that's what he was told to wear. So why would he not wear that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, for sure. Yeah.
I don't want to be a Zelensky apologist, but I'm like, look at the pattern and look at how he's gotten to become a billionaire.
Yeah, you know, it's worked for him.
In less than 3 years.
So why change it?
Yeah, he went from kind of a sideshow joke, media host dude, TV show guy, to a billionaire and a president.
And I mean, I honestly could give a shit less what he wore.
Yeah, you
know.
Neither.
I know. I just thought it was funny. Yeah, I'm like, of all the questions, that's what you ask? Like, where are you from? Who asked that question? It made me laugh.
And Trump goes, I don't know if you two like each other or not. I mean, there's obviously a history and a rift between that reporter and Zelensky. So I think that boiled over a little bit. And once again, I don't mind seeing it. Let it play out.
Yep. It's funny.
If you don't want people to see that, then what do you want us to see?
Good point. Well, you guys have any other input on that? I think we've pretty well made clear what the common folk perspective is on this little meeting.
Yeah, more's to come.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Can't wait to hear.
I'll look for it. I'm here for it.
In the time that we did this, I bet there's 3 more banger headlines that I've missed out on. So
I'm sure they're great.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, do you have anything else, mister?
No, let's close it out with Midland Radio's MidlandUSA.com. Check them out. It's getting to be that time of season, especially in the farm world.
Yep, a lot of planting.
Guys are starting to get out in the field. That's getting everything geared up. You got to get your equipment ready. If you didn't have good communication last year, look to Midland. They have these bundles and kits you can buy for your equipment, for your tractors, base stations, whatever, walkie-talkies. Even if you're not in farming, you're just looking for some hiking around communication or some walking around communication somewhere or whatever, they've got everything you need. So check out MidlandUSA.com. Again, code FARM FOCUSED, all one word. You get 15% off. So
let's go.
We use their stuff and it flat out works.
Yeah. And this is hilly. This is really hilly.
It is.
Man, not a lot of cell phones don't even work sometimes.
I had one. We were
very true.
We're kind of on the top of a hill up here, but there's some stuff over us. But I was set up on the hill in my ATV with a Midland unit wired in, and my buddy was in his all the way down. You would be able to picture this. A lot of people who listen wouldn't. All the way down past the Platte River on 75.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far I could communicate with
him. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's like probably, as the crow flies, that's got to be, I'm going to say, 6 to 8 miles.
That's crazy.
And just how tricky it can be out here, you know, where we're recording. You know, years ago we did that, some footage for Midland Radios,
mm-hmm.
and Garrett
mm-hmm.
had his drone out here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He lost communication with his drone just from the base of the hill over here mm-hmm. up to where we're at now. Mm-hmm. Like, just the drone, we found it by a tree,
you know?
Yep. So, like, the fact that Midland Radios can keep, I don't know, together, keep that line of communication open where our drones can't even do that, so.
Yep, whatever magic they got in them works.
Yes, they do.
Check them out. Anything else?
That's it.
No.
Later.
All right,
peace.
We'll see you.